So let's begin. We are discussing the Hilchos Shabbos, and if you recall from last week, again, you don't have to be here at every single halacha shir tichap. The next one, it's all separate issues, so this way no one has to feel left out. But in case you want just a quick chazara, we discussed last week how one of the lamatis malachas is bone, and a tolda of bone is ohel. And there are different types of OL. There's an OL kva, which is an OL that is permanent on a basic level, which is deoraisa. And there's an OL that's arai, which is temporary, which is derabanan. Atu, an OL keva. And we discussed last week about mechitzas. Is that considered? Is that included in the isra derabanan of OL arai? And that had a whole discussion about mechitzas and shul, etc. Today we're going to discuss the regular OL arai derabanan, which is the horizontal one, the Tefach, and we're going to ask ourselves in a very geschmacka question, which may scare you a little bit, but don't worry, there's a nice cool at the end. The question becomes, when a person wears a hat on Shabbos, and that hat, it has a brim of a Tefach, which as we pointed out last week, is the minimum shear of an Ohel, which is Asher Derabanan, at least if it's an Ohel Arai. If your brim, not like the ones that we are in style nowadays, but if the brim that you have is a little bit of the more yeshivish sticker brims from yesteryear, like the one I have, which is a tefach out, is that usher to wear on Shabbos? Technically speaking, it fits the criteria of an ohel. It has a tefach span of a brim. And perhaps one can argue it's also shading you from the sun, from the elements. What is the status of that hat on Shabbos? That's the question. Yes, Yehuda. Oh, okay, we'll get to that, but let's get the background first. Okay? So it happens to be this is an open book. This is an open Gemara. It's not like the post can have to scratch their heads, bring svaras, bring some rayas. No, it's an open Gemara, guys. Shabbos Kuf Lamed Ches Amud Beis brings down a memra, which says that it is usher to wear a siyana. What's a siyana? Rashi Kuf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, siyana says that a siyana means a felt hat. The Gemara says unequivocally, it is usher to wear a felt hat. The Gemara says, why would this be usher? Because this is a type of an ol harai. And the Gemara says, we're speaking about a siyana, a hat, which has a brim of a tefach, mamish our case, a brim of a tefach. And so it's usher, the Gemara initially wants to say. The Gemara says, one second, if you're telling me that a hat is usher, then why is, when I put my talus over my head, let's say when you're married, guys, you put a talus over your head, and you extend the talus, a tefach, beyond your forehead, why shouldn't that also be usher? But no one ever says that wearing your talus over your head beyond the tefach is usher. What's the chilek between a siyana, which is usher with the tefach, but talus, we know a cloak, is mutter. So Gemara says a vague, cryptic words, which is going to be a major machlekes. Gemara says it depends. If the siyana is mehadik or lo mehadik. Mehadik or lo mehadik. Those are the words of the Gemara. Question becomes, what does the Gemara mean when it says mehadik versus lo mehadik? One case is usher, one case is mutter. And also, what does the Gemara mean? What is the isser? Are we still maintaining the havamina that it's ohel? It just depends whether it's mehadik or not. Or perhaps the Gemara is falling off of ohel and saying that it's a completely different issue. So this is a machlokes lishayim. Rashi, approach one. Rashi in Kuf Lamed Ches Amud Beis says that the Gemara really means to conclude that really there is never an issue of wearing an ohel when wearing a felt hat. We're going to have to explain why that is. But Rashi learns that the Gemara is never entertaining a possibility at the end of the day, lemaskana, of ohel. Ohel has been rejected because just like a cloak is mutter, wearing a talus over your head is mutter, so too wearing a siyana, wearing a hat, is also mutter. So then what is the Gemara bothered by? The Gemara is saying mehadik versus lo mehadik. If you wear a hat that is not mehadik, it's not tightly fitted, it's loosely fitted on your head, then there's a new concern. If you're walking in the Rishus HaRabim and it's a windy day, maybe it'll blow off and you may come to pick it up without an Eruv. However, if it's mehadik, if it's tightly fitted, then we're not concerned, because even if there is wind, it'll stay on your head and you're not going to come to pick it up. So Gemara Rashi learns that a felt hat is never an issue of Ohel Arai, but there is taka an issue of a concern of maybe you'll come to carry it for Amos, the Shusha Rabim, which only applies when it is a loosely fitted hat where the wind can blow it off. That was all approach one. Comes along the Rambam, Chav Beis Lamed Aleph, and Rabbeinu Chananel quoted in the Ritva, also maybe alluded to in Tosfos in approach two, and they argue in Rashi and say absolutely not. The Gemara is not rejecting Ohel. Ohel for a felt hat is still an issue. It's an Issur D'Rabbanan. What does the Gemara mean? Mehadik, lo mehadik. The Gemara is setting down criteria of when a hat is usher as an Ohel. Not only does it need to be a tefach, but it also needs to satisfy two more things. It has to be mehadik, which the Rambam and the Radvaz spell out, means it has to have two more conditions. Number one, it has to be tightly fitted. It has to be sturdy. And number three, the brim of the hat has to be firm. It has to be strong. It has to be hard. If it's a hard hat, it's a hard brim, then Taka says, Tosfos says Rishonim, it will be Asur D'Rabbanan Alts Ohel. Forget Rashi's Chashash. It's not a Chashash of carrying. It's a real Isser of Ohel. Just the Gemara is saying it depends. If it's tightly fitted and firm and strong, and it has a Tefach, that'll be Ohel. But if it's not, then it'll be Mutter. Because it's not. It's a flimsy piece of material. So those are the two approaches. Rashi holds there's never an issue of an Ohel when wearing a hat, which we have to explain. Rather, the chashash of the Gemara by a hat is you may come to carry a Dalet Amos with a loosely fitted hat because it may blow off. Whereas Tosfos is saying it is an issue of Ohel, but the criteria of an Ohel is specifically when it is firm and has a strong brim and it has a tefach wide. Those are the two approaches. Now, there are two basic nafkaminas that come out of these approaches, and we're going to get to our shaila for us nowadays in terms of hats. Don't worry. And if you don't wear a black hat, don't worry. There's still another Shiloh. So get prepared, Ruvin. I don't know if you wear a black hat or not, but this will make a difference. Because there are other hats that are going to be involved. And another Shiloh, you'll see. So, two basic nafkaminas that the Torah himself brings down, which we can all already intuit. Nafkamina number one, I'm going to ask you guys to plug it in for me. Okay, you just get ready. Ruvin, Shimi, get ready. First nafkamina, the Torah brings down. What would be the halacha in a case where a person is wearing a loosely fitted hat in the Rishus HaRabim, but the brim does not have a tefach? According to Rashi, what should come out? Loosely fitted hat in the Rishus HaRabim, but it does not have a tefach. What would Rashi say? Approach one. Right, it'll fall off. So who cares if it has a tefach or not? That doesn't matter. We're not dealing with OL. It may come to fall off. You may come to carry. What about approach two, Ruvain? According to approach two, according to Tosfos, if you have a loosely fitted hat in the Rishus HaRabim and it does not have a tefach, what would be the would there be an issue? No. Why? Because it's not enough. It's not a tefach, it's not an Ohel. Beautiful. That was nafkamina one. Nafkamina two. Reuben, get on your feet. You ready? Nafkamina number two. Tosfos brings down a similar nafkamina, but different. Let's say you have a tightly fitted hat that has a tefach. Working with Rashi, would there be any issue in wearing that hat? Right. According to Tosfos, though, Reuben, would it be usher? Right. And guess what? The Torah says it'll be usher even in your own house. I don't care if you're outside. Even in your own house, you're wearing an Ohel in the house. You're wearing a tefach in the house. Okay, very simple. So the question becomes, why did Rashi reject Tosfos? And I'm going to bring it down to Halacha in a second in the Shulchan Aruch. Why did Rashi, though, reject Tosfos? Why did Rashi say that a tefach, a hard brim tefach, is mutter? Alts Ohel. What happened to Ohel? So the Beis Meir in Or HaChaim, Siman Shin Tasvav, gives a basic explanation for this machlokes. And the basic point will be, without going to an arichas, because we don't have so much time, I want to get to the lamaisa. Basically, the base mayor sets down a principle that when it comes to an ohel, everyone agrees that there has to be some kind of notion that the ohel is fixed in place. It can't be a moving ohel. It loses its stability when it's a moving ohel. There has to be some kind of permanence to it, some kind of fixating of the groundedness of the ohel in place. The question becomes, though, how fixed does the ohel have to be? Rashi says that if it's not stationary, if it's something is not stationary, but rather it's portable, like if it's on your head, it's not called an ohel. An ohel has to be stationary, as very similar to bona, where you're making a building, you're developing a building on the ground. There has to be some kind of similarity to bona. It has to be stationary. Tosus is going to hold that no. I agree to you that it has to be fixed, but you don't need it to be stationary. What do you need for it to be chayim, for it to be an isidur abaran of ohel? As long as it's stable. And if you think about it, a hat is stable because in its location, relative to its to the head, it's always in one spot. It's true that the person is moving around, but the hat is always relative to the person in one spot. It's stable. It's not moving. The hat itself is not moving away from its centered location. It's that the person is moving, okay, but it is stable itself. So it could be that there is a hashara as to how fixed it has to be in order to be an ohel. But that's a possible hasbara that could be given. But everyone agrees, though, that if something is just being held by your hand and you're just waving it back and forth, that would not be an ohel. Because not only is it not stationary, it's also not fixed in its own location. It has multiple locations, has multiple places where it's being moved to. So this is where it comes down to halacha now. Two halachic applications of this machlokas. Number one, application number one, if this may happen to any one of you when we go back to Eretz Yisrael, Be'ezras Hashem, maybe to visit or vacation, the Tzitz Eliezer and Chelek Yutzim and Dalid and the Chazon Avadia as well point out that they were once asked this following shaila. There was a minion in the Kosel. They were davening a minion in the Kosel. And all of a sudden, it started to rain during Kriya Satorah. So the question was, can the participants of the minyan hold a talis over the Torah to protect it while they were davening, while they were leaning the Torah? Why do you shake your head, Yehuda? Okay, but let's say that this is the only... Okay, but I'm saying in terms of Hilchos Shabbos, are they allowed to spread a talis over the Torah in terms of Hilchos Shabbos? Oh, well, you want to tie to Ohel. So Tzitz Eliezer says, nope, there's room to be makel based on what we just said. There's room to be makel because we just set down a basic qualification to Ohel that it has to be fixed in place. And everyone agrees that if you're holding a talis, first of all, it's not stationary because it's moving with your hands. And two, it doesn't have a stable location. So anytime that you're holding a talis beyad adam, that's not called an Ohel. So that was all application number one. But application number two is what we're all trying to know for ourselves, is what about hats on Shabbos? So based on this analysis, the question becomes, how do we explain and justify the prevalent practice that we have nowadays to wear black hats on Shabbos? Because the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Aleph, I'm sorry, he paskins like Tosvos. He paskins not like Rashi. He holds like Tosvos, that when you wear a hat on Shabbos, if it taka is tightly fitted and it has a tefach and it is a firm brim, it is usur to wear on Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like Tosfos. So what is the basis to wear a black hat on Shabbos? Reuven is probably wondering the same thing. It's like, why isn't everyone not wearing a black hat? Why is everyone wearing black hats? We should all not wear black hats. It's usur. And for those who want to wear a black hat, dafka only on Shabbos, as like a kavod Shabbos, but during the week they don't, that's not even a correct practice, pashtus, because the Maisa Shulchan Aruch is paskening like Tosfos. So how do we justify the heter to wear a black hat? Legabe Shabbos. Legabe Shabbos. What, yeah? Say it. So hold off. And the truth is, I just want to dramatize the issue. Rav Nissen Karelitz in Chut Shani, the posik from Bnei Brak, he was Niftar already. He's the Chazanish's nephew, I believe, or I don't remember. Okay, fine. So in the Chut Shani, in Shabbos and Chelik Beis, Perek Beis Lamevav, Sifkat and Yud Beis, he says, Enachrami, he was Machmir, and he was careful not to wear a black hat with a brim that sticks out of Tefach. He made sure his hat was below a tefach. So not only is it stylish nowadays, according to the Chut Shani, it is actually halachically preferable to wear a hat that is less than a tefach wide. And in terms of the shear of a tefach, it's about 3.77 inches. I measured mine. I definitely have 3.77 inches. But many of us who wear more stylish hats do not. So it won't be an issue. But the Chut Shani was machmir not to wear a hat that was 3.77 inches. Okay, but it seems that in general, people are not so machmir for this. So what's the justification? So the Mishnah Brura actually brings up this issue himself. In Shin Aleph and Sif Mem, he brings up this issue in terms of hats that were rare, that he wore during his time. And the Mishnah Brura gives two defenses, two explanations for this heter. The first explanation the Mishnah Brura gives is that the hats that he had back then were not so hard and firm. They drooped down when they wore them. Whenever they wore them, it drooped down. And the Mishnah Brura says that the issue, like we pointed out, of wearing a hat on Shabbos, according to Tosfos, is only, and Rabbeinu Hananel and the Rambam, is only if it's a firm, hard brim. So says the Mishnah Brura, that's why in his times, he allowed for hats to be worn. The second explanation the Mishnah Brura gives is that Yehuda's point, that these hats were not worn for the purposes of providing shade. They were worn for style. They were worn for kavod, as evidenced by the fact that we wear it even indoors in shul. We're not using it to protect ourselves from the elements. So that would also may not be included in the Isser of Ol, because you're not using it for the underspace behind the Ol. You have to use it, as we will see in maybe a different shir, we'll see how Ol needs to be used for the purposes of the inside, of the interior. But if you're not using it to protect yourself from the elements, it's just for a style, but Derech Levisha, it would be mutter. So it comes out, this Mishnah Brura, these two explanations can be applied to our Shaila by black hats. Because in terms of the first explanation, that all it has to be soft and not firm. So Taka, our black hats are not firm. Maybe a Hamburg, maybe a top hat is very firm, but most of our black hats are not like that. You Adrava, everyone bends them over in order to wear them for davening. So that flexibility of the brim takes it out of the issue of Ohel. And the second explanation of the Mishnah Brura is also true. We only wear it for style. We don't wear it for protecting us from the elements. So Sof Kol Sof, black hats would be mutter lechatchila to wear on Shabbos. That being the case, I'm trying to push it all in. If a person, the Or Olam points this out, if a person knows that it's raining outside and he decides to wear a baseball cap, on Shabbos, so now you really do taka have an issue. Because number one, a baseball cap, even when it's cupped, it is very firm. It's very firm. And number two, you're not wearing it just for style. You're wearing it to protect yourself from the rain. So a baseball cap taka may be an issue of an ohel derabanan. However, the Mishnah Brura says, don't be moche, which means don't rebuke anyone who wears a hat like this. Because at the end of the day, we don't forget, we have Rashi at the end of the day. Rashi never held of any of these issues by an ohel, by a hat. So one could say that this person is being somech on Rashi and being makel. Okay? That's the end of the shir. Yeah, go ahead, Yehuda.